a reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, looked, and there was a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud, one who looked like the Son of Man, with a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came from the temple, crying out in a loud voice to the one sitting on the cloud, "Use your sickle and reap the harvest, for the time to reap has come, because the earth's harvest is fully ripe." So the one who was sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Then another angel came out of the temple in the heaven, who also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel came from the altar, who was in charge of the fire, and cried out in a loud voice to the one who had a sharp sickle, "Use your sharp sickle and cut the clusters from the earth's vines, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel swung a sickle over the earth and cut the earth's vintage. He threw it into a great wine press of God's fury. The word of the Lord. The Lord comes to judge the earth.
The Lord comes to judge the
earth. Say among the nations that the Lord is king. He has made the world firm, not to be moved. He governs his people with equity.
The Lord comes to judge the earth.
Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and what fills it resound. Let the plains be joyful and all that is in them. And then shall all the trees of the forest exult.
The Lord comes to judge the
before the Lord, for he comes, for he comes to rule the earth. He shall rule the world with justice and his people with concernity.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Verbum Domini. A week ago on Father Mitch's Scripture and Tradition program, toward the end when he takes questions and he reads different email questions, one of the questions that was sent by a man named Tom from New Hampshire was, what will the hour of our death be like? And Father Mitch related two times in his own life when he was very close to death. And the first time when he was a young man in Chicago, and they were there and this other man had pulled out a pistol and he was pointing at Father Mitch's friends. And he shouted, "Don't shoot." And so the man turned toward him, pointed the pistol at his face, and pulled the trigger twice. But the gun didn't go off. And Father Mitch said later, this man ran off, that when that moment happened, he had said, Father Mitch had said this expletive. And as he's driving home that day, he said, "Is that the last thing you want to say, you know, before you die? An expletive?" And so he realized, you know, it was something that helped him to prepare for the second moment when he was very close to death, which was when just a few years ago he had a heart attack. And the EMT said, "You have the widow maker," it's called, the blockage of the big artery that usually causes death. He said, but that first being close to death helped him prepare to be better this time, and he made an act of contrition. He prayed a Hail Mary, and thankfully, he didn't die. And that he continues to bless, you know, the network with his teaching. The next day on EWTN Live, he actually had a deacon who is also a neurosurgeon, an MD. His name's Deacon Stephen Doran. And he wrote a book called To Die Well. And one of the things that he and Father Mitch talked about was that at the end of our life, it's not just about all the medical interventions that you can do. Of course, those that are appropriate, that's great. But it's not just about those medical interventions, but it's about preparing ourselves for death, which is inevitable, right? For all of us. You know, when my father passed away, we were going through his things, and I found his prayer book. It's a popular prayer book there you find in Iowa, the Catholic devotional. But he had paper-clipped different other prayers that he had added, and obviously he had prayed it because this is well-worn. He's got strap tape here. And one of the prayers that's really kind of worn out was prayer for a happy death. And it's from St. Vincent Ferrer. "Lord Jesus Christ, you want everyone's salvation, and no one ever appeals to you in vain. For with your own lips you promised, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do. In your name, Jesus, Savior, I ask that in my dying moments you will give me full use of my senses, heartfelt sorrow for my sins, firm faith, hope, and good measure, and perfect love, that I may be able to say honestly to you, into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. You have redeemed me, Lord God of truth." So this is a good way for us to prepare for our own death, and I encourage you to watch that program, EWTN Live. You can find it on our free on-demand site, where he and Deacon Stephen Doran, again a neurosurgeon, talk about a lot of the questions that come up, you know, about removing ventilators or nutrition, hydration. These are important questions that many people face with for themselves or for their loved ones, and just a wonderful program, I think, that could help people in that situation. Now today we have, I think, a very special treat for you. I've asked the choir at the offertory to sing the entire hymn, Dies Irae. So what is this hymn? It goes back, the Adoremus hymnal attributes it to Thomas of Celano, who lived in the 1200s. He was a contemporary of St. Francis of Assisi, and he wrote the most well-known biographies of St. Francis of Assisi. But also this hymn, the Adoremus hymnal, attributes it to Thomas of Celano. And it was, for centuries really, something that was sung at the funeral mass. And even in the new liturgy, it's in the Divine Office book that it could be prayed for All Souls Day, for example, or sung, and also the last week of the liturgical year, which is what we are in. And in light of the readings that we had today, I'd like to just give a little teaching about this. Some say, well, this is all doom and gloom. No, it's far from that. And I'm going to show you the different elements of this ancient hymn, or this old hymn, that really is pleading for God's mercy in that hour when we come before the Lord. For those of you who are in the pews, if you open your red hymnals to number 576, and those of you at home that have the Adoremus hymnal, if you turn to number 576, you have an English translation. The choir is going to be singing this. It'll be a longer offertory today. They're going to sing all the verses. And they're going to be singing them in the traditional Latin. But I'm going to give you some of the verses, the translation. And especially want to point out three different elements of this hymn, this beautiful hymn. So the first part, Dies Irae, Day of Wrath, is speaking about the judgment that all of us will face. We will have to give an account for our lives. Have we chosen, as the book of Revelation points out, the beast? Or have we chosen the lamb? Do we have on our foreheads, as we heard yesterday, the lamb, the name of the lamb and his father? When we're baptized, we're marked with a sign of the cross on our foreheads. So the first part talks about the reality of, yes, there will be a day of judgment. We all will have to give an account for our life. And so each day is for us to choose the Lord anew. So here are the first few verses. Day of wrath, O day of mourning, see fulfilled the prophet's warning, heaven and earth and ashes burning. Oh, what fear man's bosom rendeth when from heaven the judge descendeth, on whose sentence all dependeth. Death is struck and nature quaking, all creation is awaking, to its judge an answer making. Lo, the book exactly worded, wherein all hath been recorded, thence shall judgment be awarded. So that's a reality, right? It doesn't matter how we live. It doesn't matter what we choose. And we want to strive to live in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. But then the second element, verses 7 through 10, I wanted to highlight, tells Jesus to think of the whole reason why he came. Why did he come? Who shall I, frail man, be pleading? Who for me be interceding? When the just are mercy needing. King of majesty tremendous, who does free salvation send us, fount of pity, then befriend us. Think, King Jesus, my salvation, cause thy wondrous incarnation. Leave me not to reprobation. Faint and weary, thou hast sought me. On the cross of suffering, bought me. Shall such grace be vainly brought me? So remember, Jesus, why you came, for my salvation, and all that you endured in your passion. This is the saint that we celebrate, Saint Leonard of Port Maurice. He really understood this. And in our reading that we have in our Francisca Divine Office today, he said that today people don't think about the last things. They don't think about God's blessings or all that Christ endured for our salvation. And that's why he wanted to set up the Stations of the Cross, the Way of the Cross. And he did in 571 places. And just a year before he died, he set them up in the Colosseum in Rome, where the popes continue to make the Stations of the Cross on Good Friday. Because he realized this would bring people to think about those things, the reality of the last things, the reality of God's blessing and all that Christ endured. And so this hymn brings that home. Faint and weary, thou hast sought me, on the cross of suffering bought me. Shall such grace be vainly brought me? And then the last section, verses 12 through 15, asks the Lord too to remember the sinful woman he pardoned, the dying thief on the cross he forgave. Guilty now I pour my moaning, all my shame with anguish owning. Spare, O God, thy suppliant groaning. Thou the sinful woman savest. Thou the dying thief forgavest, and to me a hope vouchsafest. Worthless are my prayers and sighing, yet, good Lord, in grace complying, rescue me from fires undying. With thy favored sheep, O place me, nor among the goats abase me, but to thy right hand upraise me. While the wicked are confounded, doomed to flames of woe unbounded, call me with thy saints surrounded. Let me be among those saints that surround you, Lord, as we heard in yesterday's reading from the book of Revelation. And then finally, I just conclude, so we have more time for this, all 20 verses and some versions of this, of the Dies Irae that the choir will sing for the offertory. It concludes by expressing contrition. See like ashes my contrition. Help me in my last condition. And the last verse, Pia Jesu in the Latin. It's spare, O God, in mercy spare him. Pia Jesu Domine, dona eis requiem, amen. Lord, all pitying, Jesus blessed, grant them thine eternal rest. That's how it concludes. Jesus, all pitying, Jesus blessed, grant them thine eternal rest. So we pray in gratitude that the Lord gives us so many things to help us to our salvation. Leonard of Port Maurice pointed out again and again that when we reflect on his passion as we go along the way of the cross, that we see the profundity of his love, how far he was willing to go for our salvation. And it is for us then to accept it and to be joined with the saints that surround him forever in heaven.